gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes, hallelujah, sometimes. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Let's stand.
Oh, let us lift our voices to the sky and start to sing. Oh, let us now,
amen,
return Father's love.
I'll sing it, church.
Let our praise enter in.
Oh, sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord. Sometimes gently
sing.
Our hearts in
sounds of praises fill the air.
Hallelujah. Sing it to him.
Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love.
Oh, yes, Lord.
To people everywhere.
Oh, sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord.
Sounds of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love to people everywhere.
Oh, sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning? How many of you enjoyed the service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Y'all look great in your orange jumpsuits. You look just really good this morning. Aren't you glad you're a prisoner? How many of you want to become a complete prisoner to the Lord? Do you with all your heart? Every facet of our life, every avenue of our life, May he have the preeminence in every facet of our life. I believe he'd be pleased if he could do that, Brother Terry, don't you? Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Patricia Short sends this in to please pray for her mother. She's in the Holston Valley Hospital with heart problems and pneumonia. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request today. So let's pray that the Lord would touch her. Brother James Stamper is in the Ivy Hall Nursing Home, room 201. So there's an opportunity for us to, if you didn't go to the hospital and wasn't able to, maybe you could send him a card or go by and visit with him just for a few minutes. So I'm certain he'd appreciate that. The McFarlands says to please remember Mary Jane Dugan of Ohio, who will be going for a scan on Friday to see what progress has been made from her chemo treatment. So let's just pray that she would get a good report. And Brother Barry English wants us to remember his wife in prayer. She's suffering from back problems, unable to be in the house of the Lord. Also want to remember Brother Barry in prayer. His sugar, diabetes are just all over the chart. And he's asking that we would remember him in prayer as we pray today. Want to remember some friends of Randy Scott from upstate New York. Their son was in a serious accident, so let's remember those folks today. I want to pray for Sister Holly Keplinger. She's been sick with flu-like symptoms, so let's pray for her today. All the unspoken prayer requests. I know there's many needs in this assembly, but aren't you so glad that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Why don't you turn around and shake hands with somebody this morning and tell them this: our God is bigger than our problems. And mean it from your heart, if you will. Play a little bit more of that song. Let's sing it one more time, if you would. Amos to come this morning, lead us to the Lord on behalf of our prayer request. You invite the presence of the Lord into this service today. Brother Amos just got back from South Africa just in the last few days. He's going to take a couple of minutes to give you a little detail about his trip. I'm sure the Lord was with him, and I know he's glad to be back home. Amen. Come, Brother Amos, if you would, lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Appreciate our brother, don't we? God bless you, buddy. We love you, buddy.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads and join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we are certainly prisoners of love. Lord, we were once prisoners of the devil. We were in a pawn shop. Dear God, we were under his binding presence of fear, and we were compelled, Lord Jesus, to do things, Lord, that we really down in our hearts we didn't want to do. But dear God, one day we heard the eagle scream. We recognized that we were like Johnny Crow. At first we didn't recognize that we were free. But Lord, the realization has struck our hearts. We certainly are free, but now we're prisoners of love. We're bound to you, dear God, with love. And Lord, we're thankful for that relationship that we have with you. Lord, this morning I hold in my hand, and as has been mentioned, and last evening, many prayer requests, Lord. Lord, we know that you're a God that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you're certainly our high priest and a high priest of our confession. Lord Jesus, we're laying these requests before you, Lord. We think of the sister that's suffering from the sugar sugar, Lord God, and Lord, her body all out of whack, Lord. We know that, Lord, our bodies sometimes become out of cycle and they get in the wrong patterns, dear God. Lord Jesus, you're able to correct those things, Lord, and certainly your 39 stripes were for our healing and the healing of all our diseases. Nothing is too hard for you, dear God. And Lord, we just ask you for those that others as well that was mentioned last evening and this morning as well, Lord Jesus, and many that we heard, Lord, across the waters, Lord. Dear God, many that are sick and suffering as well. And Lord God, those that have come across our paths and been mentioned here many times that are in our midst this morning, Sister Natalie and those, others as well that are suffering, Lord, in their bodies, Lord, we pray that they would take on new courage this morning, Lord, and fight the good fight of faith, claim the promise. And Lord, we evict Satan. He's a squatter. He doesn't belong here. He has no covenant. He's nothing but a hollow chocolate bunny rabbit. Dear God, nothing in him. Dear God, he bluffs his way too many times in our lives. Help us, Lord, to see that we're not bluffed, but we're made out of stuff that doesn't bluff. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name this morning. You bless your children. The word as it comes forth. Amen and amen. May God bless you as you're seated. First of all, let me say thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers and your interest while I was in South Africa, as well as Brother Seiler, and I believe he's already mentioned his thanks to you. It's certainly, God was certainly with us, and we had a wonderful time in the Lord. I certainly want to bring you greetings from the believers there, the pastors. If we tried to mention names, we would probably miss a whole lot. But there are many of the folks there that joined with us in our services here at the church and received tremendous blessings and inspiration, as well as the ministers there from our services. And I bring you greetings from some of them. We had the opportunity to stay in some of their homes, and we were certainly warmly received. Brother Alray, who was my host, Brother Alray Robertson, and he certainly, Brother Alray, took us around the country, and we had the opportunity to minister to a broad cross-section, if you will, of people of South Africa. And South Africa is made up of many different ethnicities, if you want to call it that, different people. And we had the opportunity to meet a lot of them and to minister to them and encourage them. And it was certainly a wonderful experience to be with a bride out of South Africa. And God certainly blessed us. And one thing in particular that really stands out to me, which we were called upon to minister to, and that was the people of the Transkei region. And the Transkei region is formerly a country within South Africa that was autonomous, if you will, up until 1994 when it was absorbed into South Africa. But the Transkei region is certainly an area, a world of its own. And South Africa, as some of you may already know it, it is a modern country. But it has worlds within itself that are vastly different from ours and from others within that country. And we certainly, while I was there at the Transkei, I think it was a wonderful experience to see the hand of God at work and to see the way the people live there and the geology and to see how the bride functions in that area. And it's certainly an area where God is doing great things. And I think that was the greatest thing. And one thing that has stuck out in my heart, and it even come to me while I was there, and I ministered on many different subjects that the Lord had laid on my heart. I had plenty of material that the Lord has been laying on my heart, so I took a lot of that with me and allowed the Lord to direct my heart on the path that I should take for each service. And I appreciated that thought last night that our pastor brought. Because that very thought, and I have the notes even with me this morning that I had brought with me, was some of the very thoughts that I had ministered on, and it seemed to permeate every sermon that I brought. Those thoughts seemed to come in there about pleasing God, pleasing the Father, and how Christ pleased the Father. Whatever the Father revealed to him, that's what he done. Despite whatever else he might have been pulled this way or that way. But it was just so amazing how the God used us and blessed us, and I knew that you all were praying for me. And as a church and my little prayer band here at the church, I knew I didn't have to call anyone to remind them in the middle of the night, pray, remember me in the morning. I knew I could count on you. And I felt your prayers, and I felt like it was a body move while we were there. So certainly, like I said, we had a wonderful time with the Transkei people, ministering several times to them, and God blessed. And I got myself out of the way. And I tell you, I felt in my heart while I was there, I knew that I had already defeated the giant that was within me. And I happened to minister on that, on the giants within. And laid out a few things in a sermon, and then it came up later on. But I knew in my heart that I had already defeated myself. And I was feeding, the inner man is renewed day by day. And I fed that man. And so when I was standing there in battle, I had no fear. The enemy fought. Yes, he was there. And he certainly fought us with a spirit of unbelief among the people. But nonetheless, we had the victory. And at night, when I laid my head on a pillow in a motel room that was completely strange to me, I mean, you have to understand that Brother Allray and I were the only white people in possibly an area that was many hundreds, possibly, I don't know the exact size, but thousands of square miles, hundreds of square miles at the least. And we were the only white people in that area. And there's probably close to maybe 1 million people living in that area. And during the night, I can remember Good Friday evening, I'm hearing this boom, 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 boom of a drum beating all night long. And sincere people trying to approach God, being it was Easter time. There was many different Christian groups staying there. People laying outside in the courtyard overnight. They couldn't afford to have a room, and there was no rooms to be had. And they were sleeping on the ground, and there was people chanting all night long and going through that. But you know, I laid there in the bed, and I began to think about, Lord, I'm here for a divine purpose. And you've led me to come here. And you've opened up the door for me to be here. And I laid my head on that pillow, and I can truly say, not bragging or boasting, but I know that I was in God's will. And I don't care what was going on around me. I slept like a baby that night. I know that God was with me. Amen. And he's faithful to his word. So I thank you for that. We had a number of people that repented at the tent meeting there in the Transkei, where several churches had come together and pastors. A number of people repented and were baptized Sunday morning. We're very grateful for that. And then the last service I ministered was near Johannesburg for Brother Hannes and the Country Tabernacle. And we had a wonderful time there. There was many, many folks that came forward for prayer at the end of service. And we've been hearing the testimonies from the pastors and the members of their congregations as well. But I do thank you for your prayers. And I believe that the purpose of God was served. Amen. In what we went to do. May God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Let's stand. Let's sing a song this morning. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. God delivers again. Do you believe that with all your heart? Amen. Sing that first verse for us.
Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take them in bondage again.
Amen.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, O Moses, cry. When God parted the water and they crossed to the other side.
Oh, yes, now God delivers again. Oh, my God
delivers again.
When it seems all is lost, he reaches down his hand.
When all the forces of bow to your idols, the
This morning, church, our God is a deliverer, isn't He? Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, something that Brother Amos said just a minute ago, defeating the giants in your own life, defeating your own purpose, defeating your own self is a great victory, isn't it? If it's our purpose and if it's our life, God can't get the glory out of it. Somebody say, praise the Lord this morning. Let's sing one more little song this morning. I would not be denied. Don't you go to coughing on me. Let's sing a little bit of that song this morning. I would not be denied. Is that your desire today, to have a victorious walk with the Lord? When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till Jesus came and made
Satan said,
hallelujah,
our Lord was gone.
Say it like you believe it, church.
And he would not hear my prayer.
Oh, I believe it, Brother Harry.
But I'm going to praise the Lord.
Say it again.
I'm going to praise my Lord. And say the work's already done. For I know Christ.
Hallelujah.
I know Jesus. He is here.
He's here. Somebody say he's here. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're singing awful good today. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We got a group of kids that's going to come and do a Bible quotation for you this morning. If they would come at this time, Sister Rachel's got them coming on up here. They're going to do this for you today. Brother Caleb, if you come onto the platform, and Brother Brandon, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. And there's some fine looking young people. I tell you the truth, they look good. Give them a nice hand this morning.
Is this one working here?
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I've seen so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. Is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and
this is going to be good, so it might take a minute.
His love's never failing. Sometimes microphones are...
They're not too sure, but I'm thankful that His love, we can count on it, can't we? Amen. I'm so glad to be a prisoner. Every bit of me, I want to be a prisoner. Amen.
Yeah.
love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Makes me sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
I just wonder how it's going to be, that big youth convention I've been talking about, and all the singers and all the saints of God gather together, and it'll never end. What a great, great thing it's going to be. Let's turn today, if you would, again to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Appreciate the singing. We've been having some really good specials here lately. I appreciate people putting forth the effort, don't you? It's a blessing. Some of you sorry outfits that can sing and don't sing, shame on you. You need to use that talent. I know I'm one to talk, you know, but you need to use that talent. Revelation chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 5 through verses 10 today. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then we'd like to read also from the breach, paragraph 210. He comes forth what? To take his claims now. Oh my, comes forth to take his claims. Now he had done the kinsman work. He had come down, become man. He had died. He had done the kinsman work of redemption, but had not as yet called for his claim. Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you today, Father. We're so grateful that we could gather here today, Lord, and in your great presence. Thank you for the songs, Lord. Thank you for the prayers. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the testimonies of your power that's among us. Lord, we pray today that once again you take your word and just anoint our hearts that we are able to receive. We certainly desire to be synchronized on this earth with that which is going on in heaven. We know that it's so important that our lives are truly in harmony with that which is in your mind for the day. It would have been needless in the days of Moses for them to, children of Israel, to have been out gathering wood to build a boat to float down the Nile when that was not the message of that day. It would have been needless in the days of Isaiah for them to have been marching around another city like it would have been Jericho when that was not the day. So today is it needless for us to try to rally around this or that or the other, unless it's what's in your heart for this hour. And this is what we desire, Father, that we can know your heart. We know, Lord God, that there's a great privilege, a secret place in which the elect are administered into the holy sanctum of the King, the inner court. Allow us, I pray, to enter there today, Lord, in that great place in your presence. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. On my desk. I'd like to speak to you again today on the rapture, claiming his rights. Amen. It's hard for us to imagine that for 2,000 years, this same thing has been happening in heaven. The advancement of the Lamb into the vision of John carried up in before the presence of God must have been a very alarming thing to him, to the cherubims, to the zooms, to all the heavenly creatures that were there, as they beheld and saw something transpiring in the vision. Now, remember that a prophet, whenever he sees things in a vision, him seeing it there before him doesn't necessarily mean that it's happening right at that particular time. Because a vision happens in a dimension that can be present, past, and future. When God created the dimensions in the beginning, knowing that man would fall and that there would be a place necessary for the lost to go to, there would be a place necessary for the saints to go to, and that God would separate his own habitation from the other dimensions. So he made light, matter, time, science, the first four dimensions. Then he makes the fifth dimension where the unbeliever goes. He makes the sixth dimension where the believer is. And then God keeps that last dimension for himself, which is the seventh dimension. Then in that realm of vision, which God is able to bring a prophet into, where the prophets could see visions, Moses would be carried up into that realm, and he could go back way back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he would be able to go back in the fourth dimension and see in the beginning. He could look forward into time. He could be able to even look there. Same way with Isaiah, same way with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets, same with Brother Branham. That's why he could see people, and they was a little girl, same as they're 20 years old, same as they were 60, same as they were 70. And yet happened in a moment of time, because in that dimension they can transport back and forth 50 years, 60 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. It's not really anything, because it's dimensional travel. And it's a foreign thing, of course, to us. And we would basically have to take their word for it, since none of us really have actually traveled that way. So in this realm of vision, John is transported into the presence of God. And in there, he's seeing things. Now, it might sound as if though that it's happening one moment after another, after another, after another. Yet in the vision, there might be years that would transpire from the time the dispensation of the Lamb would be able to take the book and loose the seals thereof, and then the time that the lion would actually take the book and claim his rights. Now, this is where that many people have made a mistake in years gone by in preaching that when the Lamb took the book and the seals were preached, that the Lamb, everything was finished, mercy was over, everything was done in 1963. I realize the message was not available for them to go ahead and study and search and make sure that thought followed continuity after the seals are preached, which of course it did not. But if they had the material available, they could have maybe looked at it in a different way. But yet in the vision, it would seem as if though it's happening in sequence, bam, 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 bam. But needless to say, whenever the Lamb takes the seals, the book, to reveal the seals, and from the time that he takes the book to be able to call for his rights, 2,000 years. 2,000 years with the grace dispensation has been going on. And yet Peter said the end of all things is at hand. He made it sound like it was going to happen right then. It was at hand in God's time. So whenever John sees this vision, it could seem as if so that whenever the Lamb takes the book, it's all in one, it's an all in one thing that happens at one time. But when you really look at it, you realize it is a sequence, or it is an order of events, that one will lead to another, one will lead to another, until it all consummates in the rapture of him claiming his rights. Now, you know, the stage that we're in right now, as far as where we are, is the stage of the Lamb actually representing himself before the elders as Boaz in the Anatite. How that Boaz took his shoe off and he witnessed before the elders of the city that he had purchased Ruth and bought Ruth. But as yet, he had not claimed Ruth as his own. And yet, whenever Boaz enters into this phase, he removes his shoe, and of course he would hand it to Tob, his cousin or his near relative, and he would witness before the elders of the city, where all business transactions would transpire. Before the elders was where this took place. Now, this is going on in heaven, that the Lamb of God has been back in that mystical part of the throne. It is the part of the throne that John could not see in vision, because vision was not allowed to permeate into that realm, the where God actually was. So the Lamb was back in that secret part of God, doing by the mysterious parts of God, working out the phase of redemption. So what's he doing? Testifying before the elders that I'm redeeming Ruth. I'm redeeming Ruth. But he has not yet claimed Ruth as his own, and he cannot claim her as long as the dispensation of mediatorial work is going on. So let me tell you something. You got loved ones that are lost. You better pray like never before that God will bring them in. Because when that Lamb steps from behind that place, there'll not be one more Gentile saved. I ain't talking about now just bride. I'm talking about bride, foolish virgin, any Gentiles whatsoever. Because whenever he steps from behind there, the days of mediatorial work for them is totally, completely done with the Gentiles. Will the foolish virgin be saved during the tribulation period? No, they have already been saved, but they have missed being a part of the bride.
So whenever you're witnessing to people, don't worry about so much bringing them to the message. Get them to Jesus first. They may not even be ordained to come to the message of the hour, but lead them to Christ. Amen. Let them know of a saving grace. There's a greater life. My goodness, if they just become nothing but a foolish virgin, that's a better life than being lost and going to hell. That's a better life. You worry about your children. Oh my, they're not bright. Well, no doubt some of our children may not be bright. I'd rather them to be foolish virgin to be saved than to be lost. And you don't witness to them because you don't think they're going to be bright. Tell them of the hope of life that you have. Now you realize that the Lamb dealing in this intercessory part in the breach again, he says, the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man, and he becomes a lion. So it is, as it were, a dispensational change, a move from the dispensation which he has been as the Lamb of God, and he becomes. Now notice the word that Brother Branham uses, because he uses it over and over and over again about God, how that God becomes. So God become man, and God become a lamb, and God becomes a lion, and God will become a king. You were born into this world and you become a sinner by a new birth. You become a son of God by the rapture power. You will become into the image of him that births you by the word. So the whole thing is God becoming. Glory. And it's the same with you. Now notice he becomes a lion, and when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. Notice now, when he becomes a lion, he takes, not he took. When he becomes, why is he saying it this way? Because at that time he had not yet become a lion. Glory. Amen. When he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. Now notice, whenever he looses the mystery of the seals for Brother Branham to preach to us, what was the contents inside the seals? He does not become the Lion King. Because he noted Happy Valley still needed a bunch of mediating going on. Now, if he would have become the judge, the rapture would have been right then. You and I would have never even lived on the earth. It had been over. 3.5 years after that, by 1966, 1967, the end time would have come, the millennium would have ushered in, and the millennium would be going on right now. Right? That's how secure God's word is. Notice, when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his right. Notice again, he says, what did he do now? He's been back there interceding until his blood has atoned for every person, and the Lamb now knows what's written in the book. So the Lamb is not just staying there until, one of these days I'll get tired of all this, and maybe people keep coming, they'll keep coming, and I'll stay here until it just all stops. Oh no, he's got a definite purpose in mind. He's got a number of names that he's working on. Amen. And when those names are finished, then this is what will synchronize with what's going on earth, with what's going on in heaven. And when those names are finished, then this brings the Lamb to a dispensational change for himself. Now watch, he says he stood back there and done mediator work until the mediatorial work, till everyone that's been in, put in the book has been redeemed and it's finished. Now he walks out. Notice again, you know what the kinsman work was to testify before the elders. Remember Boaz kicking off his shoe and so forth. He's done all this now. Now he comes to take his bride. He comes now as king. He's looking for his queen. So really, I wonder how hard rapture and faith will be. If he's looking for his queen, how difficult will it be for me on rapture morning? Since it comes from his realm, and the command is the command of the king. Only thing I need to do basically is be ready. Very simple. It's not hard at all. I won't have to struggle and I gotta get on this website and find rapture and faith, and I gotta go over here and I gotta go over there and I gotta do this. I just need to be ready at all times. And when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and he comes looking for his queen, I will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now watch, he is now moved in this stage of the vision. Now you gotta watch Brother Branham as he's going through the seals, because Brother Branham goes back and forth the way John did when he goes into the vision, because it's as if though John sees him as a lamb, and he sees him as a lion, and he sees him as a lamb, and he sees him as a lion. And when Brother Branham preaches the seals, Brother Branham will make statements as if though it has already happened, that it's already done then. The lamb has already took the book, it's totally over. But if you follow his thought all the way through to 1965, you realize he wasn't saying that at all. Now notice this, he comes forth to claim his redemptive rights. Now whenever he's there as mediator, he cannot claim his rights and be mediator at the same time. You've got to do one or the other. You cannot claim your rights and be a mediator. And he wants to be a mediator in such a perfect way, he must concentrate totally on mediator through redemption. Once redemption is finalized, then he moves into the phase of claiming his rights. This, of course, is a rapture. Claim it for who? Not for himself, for us. He's one of us. Oh, listen to this. He's our kinfolk. Oh, my. He's my. Can you all say that? The Lord Jesus is my brother. Glory. He's my God, my Redeemer. Amen. But he is my brother. Amen. My, notice, he's my Savior, he's my God. He's my kinsman, redeemer. He's all. For what was I without him, and what could I be without him? You see, he's my all, and he's standing there as our kinfolk. Don't you see, mediatorship stands there at what kinsman, redeemer, he is my brother. Whenever I go to him in prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm down. Lord, I'm sick. I need that. I need that. He said, Bubby, I understand. Can you accept that? Can you accept that this morning? That's the way he, oh, you say, I don't feel that way about him. That's your problem. Because that is the way he feels about you. Harry, he looks at us the way you and I, and even in a greater way, as Harry and I would look at one another as brothers in the flesh and brothers in the Lord. And you imagine the Lord Jesus in this position that he looks at us and say, brothers, you are my brothers, my sisters. He don't look at you and say, I hate you. You put me through all this trouble. You caused me to be killed. You caused me to suffer. But he looks at us and says, my brothers. My brothers. Can you accept him being that way? Now, notice he must maintain this position as long as the work of mediator is necessary on the earth. Brother Bam said he's been interceding for us up to this time. Now he comes forth to take the book of redemption to claim his rights of what he did for us. Now whenever the seals are open, he is not claiming his rights. He's opening the mysteries of what's been hidden in there so that we would be able to be identified with the word, not claiming his rights. Had he claimed his rights in 1963, we would be living in a new earth. Notice again, the Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom, his bride. Oh my, he wants to bring his subjects to him now. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere, every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise, wherever they may be, he will call. Here's the rapture. He will call. And they'll answer. He will call. And they will answer. Remember Brother Ram talking about being up in the wilderness hunting? And the great storm moved down through there, and the elk got separated, and this got separated, and the wolf, and this and that. And he said he heard the male wolf over there. And he said he heard the female down here answering. And he heard the big bull elk over there bugling and heard the others. You know what it was? Answering their mate call. Woo! You understand what the rapture is? It's the bride answering her mate call. Of course, if you're not a mate to the word, then you won't even hear it. Now watch, the Lamb broke the seals in order that he might bring this and set in cycle. Friends, if you can only understand it today, the rapture and the resurrection has already been in cycle. It's already in that way. It's unstoppable. Oh my, it is more than releasing an atomic bomb. It is more powerful than any bomb man has ever made. It has already set in motion. Glory to God. Notice again, he leaves the throne to be an intercessor as a slain lamb, to be a lion king. This is the original Lion King. Disney had nothing to do with this. This is the original Lion King. Now notice what happens as it moves into another phase. This is what the rapture is. The lamb leaves now from his mediatorial work. He leaves the throne to be an intercessor as a slain lamb, to be a lion king, to bring the world to judgment who's rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now, as we heard. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? A judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights. Amen. You see, he's not concerned about his rights until this time. He's the only king that has ever been known that's waited for 2,000 years to get his throne. Because his whole concern, his entire concern for the last 2,000 years has been his people. Tell me, with Nero, with Pharaoh, Nico, and any of these so-called kings and leaders and great men, their entire, oh my, first 20 years of their administration would be focusing on the poor and focusing on the downcast in their kingdom. Now, when everybody gets this and this and this, then I'll become king. Oh no! One of their first things is take that throne. Get that robe. Get that diadem. Get that crown. Not this king. This king for 2,000 years has mediated for the weak, the feeble. He's focused on his children fighting battles with lust. Focus on his children standing there as a redeemer with some of his sons who fought sex problems. And the focus for 2,000 years has been to bring those sons and daughters to this place of completion. It's 5 minutes after 12. As of 5 minutes after 12, at this very day, our king still does not even have his own throne. He does not even have a crown on his head. He's still bloody. The whole reason is me and you. Lord have mercy. When the Lamb slain walked from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he become not a lamb. Notice these words now. Become. But a lion king. And he calls for his queen. Come stand by his side. Glory. And remember the saints that have passed from Calvary until now are not in the presence of Jesus. They are not before the throne of God. It could not be so. They are not by his side. Glory. Because he's in the eternities at the throne of God mediating for those that are yet alive. So he could not attend to her and be worshipped by her and still be a mediator. So they enter into the sixth dimension. As a prophet went in the sixth dimension, said, where's Jesus? So where's Jesus? I want to see him. He meant so much to me. Where's Jesus? Said he's a little bit higher. You can't see him right now. I'm so glad he couldn't. I'm so glad he couldn't, because I still needed it. I needed Jesus. Oh, glory. I needed Jesus to be my mediator. I need him. My, there may be 5,000, 10,000, who knows how many more. It's still not safe. They still need him. So he comforts them in the sixth dimension, right under the altar, right under that position. And there he gives them this peace, this assurance. My, they're so happy. They're so satisfied. But yet they've got a longing. Why? Because he wants all of us, New Testament saints, to meet him at one time. We're living in an age when all kinds of folks have died and went to heaven and come back and told the story. You know, you read about books and you see all kinds of movies or folks, you know. The problem I have with a lot of that is it don't line up with the scripture and the message. They go in the presence of God, they have dinner with Jesus, and they see Jesus here and there, and they do all that. I'm sorry, friends, that's contrary to the Word of God. I'm not saying some of those things they don't have some time of visitation, but I bring all visitations right back to the absolute. They have been held in that dimension and they are there waiting. Paul has never to this day seen the Lord Jesus. Peter has not seen him. James has not seen him. Oh, hallelujah. The blessed mother virgin Mary has not seen him. So to those of you who pray to her, she's in the wrong dimension to answer your prayers. You better go to the main man himself. Don't fool with the secretary. Now watch, whenever he becomes Lion King, one of the first things he does, roar. He roars the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4. And his lioness is on the earth. Living her life by the pattern of the word. Living down here in Laodicea, glory, waiting for the change. Notice this, he calls for his queen. Now how hard is that? How in your phrase you're going to miss it? You tell me how that's possible. If you're a queen, you ain't going to miss the king's call. I've got plans for my life like y'all do. I've got some meetings set for this summer and I've got this and that and the other, but all my plans are subject to the call. Woo! Glory! All my plans, everything I've got set, everything I'm looking for, as a matter of fact, it is what I live for. The King's call. Watch it now. He says, notice, here he comes. He leaves the throne as an intercessor, as a slain lamb, to become a Lion King. To bring the whole world to judgment that's rejected. Our kinsman redeemer then is king over all. He's got the title deed of redemption. And all lays within his hand, brother, and says, I'm glad I know him. Oh, my. Then claims his inheritance. That's the church. The bride. He's not claiming it now. He's redeeming it. Mediating for it. When you get short and you fall short of the glory of God. He's standing there redeeming. Meeting. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. But when it comes to this, you will have moved past the state. You no longer need a mediator. Oh, happy day, happy day. Now the mystery of the book are revealed when the seals are broken. And when the seals completely are broken, the time of redemption is over. Now first seal. Now watch. The seals are broken. But when Brother Branham is preaching them in March of 1963, they are not completely broken. When the seals completely are broken, the time of redemption is over. Why? It's the mysteries hidden there. But when they're open in reality form, then he becomes the lion. And when he becomes a lion, I become a full son of God. Amen. Notice this, because the lamb left the intercessory post to walk out. claims. He's a mediator between that. But when the real revelation happens on the seals, as they begin to break, the Lamb is coming forth from the sanctuary. Oh, glory. Friends, where are we? Listen to this in the third seal. Now for all these years, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. All that understands that, say amen.
Amen.
He has been doing the work of the kinsman redeemer. But there will come a time. Not happened, not has, not as past tense. There will come a time when the redeeming work will be over. Do you understand there are preachers in this message that tell the young people of their church they can't even get saved? That if they was not saved by 1963, they can't even be saved. A man like that should be locked up somewhere. He ain't got no right to be called, claim to be a God-called man. What in the world? What in the world is the matter with folks? Can you imagine? If that was the mentality of your young people, what you're going to produce? But I want to tell you this morning, He will be there as the mediator until the very last one has been brought in and finished. If that's 500 more years or 70 more years or by 12:30 this afternoon, that's the last one, then that's when it will happen, not when the seals are preached. Glory. Now watch this. He's been so consumed with the love for his wife. Notice he says, and now for all these years, the third seal, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. All that understands that, say amen. And there will come a time that when the redeeming work will be over, and when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God where he's seated now. But that's not his throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I've overcome and sat with him on my Father's throne. This is not his throne. That belongs to Spirit God.
Amen.
Christ the Lamb. It doesn't belong to him. He's the incarnate God. Which is the same God made incarnate. Amen. So this is why when he was on the earth, Satan walked before the throne of God and seemingly saw no change. Because Christ came from the mysterious part of the throne so it could move out of the part that he couldn't see, come down on the earth, fulfill the plan of God, move back into that part, and the devil never knew he was there and left and gone and come back. Because had that Shekinah emptied off the throne, everything was gone off the throne, the devil went before the throne of God and said, uh-oh, he's gone. Where's he at? He's down on the earth. But whatever was there was still there when Jesus was on the earth. Glory! Why? Oh, hallelujah! It was out of the hidden part of God, the mysterious part of God. And when Jesus went back to the earth, what does he do? He walks back into that mysterious part of God. I came from God. I go back to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. You imagine as he made these streets of gold, these gates of pearl, walls of jasper, chalcedony, all these beautiful gems and things. When I imagine up in top, there must be a very special place to him. It's his throne. He created it, decked it with whatever would suit his divine taste. But it's been empty since the day it was created. For he does not want to be on two thrones at the same time. Can you imagine this city this morning? It's sitting ready. You know how you would be if you were building a new house and something that you'd longed for. Many years of your life, you're in your wife and you laid out plans and all, you had it all perfectly to a T the way you wanted it. Now the bathroom is this way and the closet is this and this and this and this and this. And you're getting so close. You go over every day and you say, oh my, they got it done today. No, we had a delay, you know, this, this, that, and the other. But then all of a sudden it comes to the time it's ready. The contractor's done. The tiles laid, the carpet, hardwood, whatever more. It's all done. It's swept. It's finished. They've had it totally clean and it's ready for you to sign the papers and walk in. And the first day you walk in, stick your key in the door and open the door. And you step into your place. Can you imagine a city so massive and gigantic? Millions of elect will live in it. It's finished. The streets have been laid. The gates have been hung. And the heavenly beings are going around just touch up things, you know, just finishing all these sort of things. The majestic throne on the top of the city where the Lamb will seat. Glory! Amen. Where the Lamb will be seated for eternity as the Father hovers over Him. You imagine the angels as they go around this beautiful throne and they look at it in Jesus Himself. But He says, I can't focus on that right now. I've got a son down there. He's got a real problem with his temper. I need to mediate for you. I've got a daughter that's got a real problem with still wanting to cut her hair. I'll take care of the throne later. Now I need to take care of her. So he focused and focused and focused and focused. So he's been right there in the mysterious part of God's throne doing this countless years of work. Lord Jesus. So when the last soul comes in, the time of redemption is finished. Then the Lamb comes forth to claim His rights. You see, we're living in a day when rights, we hear about it so much. People's rights. It's Laodicea, so it's the time for it. You realize the Lamb, His mentality, His focus is not about rights. A lamb does not fight for rights, naturally. But now, a lion does. A lion thinks about rights and claims and territory and a pride. And you are his pride and joy. Oh. A lamb don't think about territory. A lamb don't think about rights. So a lamb, the dispensation of lamb, he must become lion. And a lion thinks territorial. Now watch him. He comes as king. Now he thinks territorial. He thinks my bride. He thinks boundaries. He thinks of protecting. Amen. And he changes from this lamb. And the prophet said he disposes of his contestant. Why? He has become territorial. Wow. Glory to God, as a lamb, as you're on this earth, the devil can go before the throne of God and accuse you. But when he becomes lion, he becomes territorial. You, get out! Glory to God. And the Lamb comes forth to claim His rights. What He's has redeemed, that's all creation. The earth and everything belongs to Him. You see, people today still don't understand. They just get so messed up in their minds. They say, how can a loving God cause hurricanes and tornadoes? And how can God do this and God do that? Don't blame that on God. That's not God doing all that mess. unto the work of mediatorship as Lamb. He does not go out there and stop all the typhoons and stop all the tornadoes and stop all that. He's focused on intercession. But when he becomes a man, he ain't one of those little Knoxville Zoo type either. He's a real Lion King. He's fixing to step out there and claim his territory. And he says, come here, my queen. Notice this in the fourth seal. Brethren said, well, I believe with all of my heart, the seat's still open. I believe he's still on the throne of God. But soon, he's going to rise now and come forth to claim what he's redeemed. He's doing the work of a kinsman redeemer while Ruth is waiting. But soon, you know, after Boaz done the kinsman work, did he come and claim his possession? Glory to God. That's exactly what the Bible said he done. He come forth and took the book. Then intercession is over. He's off the throne. No more blood. Again, the sixth seal. He's standing in the holy place tonight. Now, wait a minute. I thought the seals were broke. Once the seals were broken in March of 63, that was it. We should have read a little farther. He's standing in the holy place tonight as an intercessor, making intercession for every one of those souls whose name is on that book. And nobody knows, amen, that name but him. He's the one that's got the book in his hand. He knows when the last one comes in. Then his intercessory days is over. He comes forth to claim what he's interceded for. He's doing the kinsman redeemer work now. Now. You people that's here had the tapes from the seven seals. Notice this conferences, June of 63. When the Lamb come forth to claim his redemption, what did he redeem? Time is finished. He's in the work now. 3 months after the seals are preached. And he's still putting him in the throne of God. But someday. Glory. Y'all ought to be shouting. That one word put you in. Someday. Not then. It ain't over. But someday. He walks from the sanctuary to take up the book of redemption. Wait a minute. I thought that the book was already took when he opened the seals. Simply because you don't understand what the book is. There's a book, then there's a book. And the book can't be the book, but the book has to be the book. So you got to be the book in order to be in the book. And then he comes and gets the book after he opened the book. What's hard about that? Sounds simple to me. Sounds like to me it's just all about the book. Amen. To come and take up the book of redemption that he's purchased. Oh, so he purchased the book of redemption, did he? So does that mean he bought my Bible? Or bought me? Remember, the book of Ruth, Brother Bam says, is one of the greatest stories of the Old Testament in the book of redemption. The book of Ruth, historically, was placed with the book of Judges until they made it into a Bible. And once they made it into a Bible, the people who divided it and put it in order decided the book of Ruth with the canon of scripture and the theme of the story somehow didn't fit in the book of Judges. The prophet Samuel wrote the book of Ruth. So the mystery of redemption, glory, in the Old Testament was written by a prophet. Hallelujah. Then should not the full understanding of the mystery of redemption come back by a prophet? Not a pastor, not an evangelist, not a teacher, but a prophet. And what did that prophet do? He also separated the book of Ruth from the book of Judges. And said, I no longer call you church. I no longer call you church, which is going to be judged, but I call you bride.
Amen. You don't sit under the judgment of the judges or the judgment of the seals.
But in the book of redemption. What notice this, and greater than Solomon is here. Notice these dates now. It's important to follow this. 628-63. One day, the Lamb is going to leave the sanctuary and come forth and take the book out of the hand of him who is the deed owner. When man transgressed and the book of life went back to its original owner, man, all life was lost. There was no man in heaven or on earth that was worthy. But a lamb come forth, a bloody lamb that had been slain since the foundation of the world, that come and took the book of redemption and opened it. God, may my name be there. May every name here be written, our Lord, that's been redeemed in this great plan of redemption. Granted, Father. Oh, wouldn't that be our desire? Notice again, go wake Jesus, November 63. That church is a predestinated church. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus came to redeem. And when the last name is redeemed, the book is closed. Now, he didn't intend that no one be lost, but his foreknowledge let him know who would be lost. And the church said, therefore he could predestinate. And then their names was put on the book. And then when that book of redemption is closed and sealed, oh, with seven seals, while it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God. And someday, when the book of redemption is finished, the Lamb takes it. And then the last name is called off of that. And the Lamb comes forward to call for what he has redeemed. That's his church, and I believe the time is close at hand. Now notice, months and months and months after the seals, he's still putting the Lamb on the throne of God. Can I go on a bit further? Christ identified the same in 64. So we're trying to get every soul saved that Jesus can come. He cannot come until the last one that had the name on the book of life that was put there before the foundation of the world. Amen. When that name is called, that's the last one then. He come to redeem, bring back. He redeemed us to bring back. And when he brings back the last one, he's sitting at the right hand of God tonight, doing his mediator work. 1964, he's still doing it. And when the last soul is saved that was redeemed and seen and known by God before the foundation of the world, when that last soul is saved, that closes the book. Don't you see, as long as the book is open, it means it's an unfinished work. Those of you who still read books like this, and you slide a bookmarker, a piece of ribbon or whatever more in your book, you lay it on your nightstand, your table, whatever more, you come in, you slide your finger, something like this, where that thing is, and you open it up. That means that you've not finished the book. So the book of redemption has been worked out by the mysterious powers of God. What's in that book? It's just a bunch of names. Just names. Just names. That's all it is, just names. Of course, unless you're God. And then those names become words, which started as thoughts, which means they are eternal. Now, would you be very interested in reading a book that just had names in it? John and Mary and Fred and Luke and Benjamin and Naphtali and so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and, next page, and so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so, next page, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, next page, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. This is the most boring book I ever had in my life. And that's, of course, you're looking for a baby's name. Then if you're looking for a baby's name, they give you the most popular 10, you know, popular ones, and then you look at this, and then you look at all these combinations. But God ain't actually looking for baby's names. He wants kids' names, full grown. But if you'd be able to get God's book and you look down to it, there's just one name after another, and probably not our name now, but our original name, whatever they are. So it'd be nothing but names, 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 and more 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 names. And then you come to the end of the book, and then it says, and Jesus and the bride live happily ever after. And you say, I didn't make no sense out of that book, but you would if your name was in it. Oh, hallelujah! If your name was in it, you would.
mystery. So as long as there's one thing that the bleach is not dripped down on it.
Jesus had his ribbon over to Ephesus age. Then he finished all them, and then he placed his ribbon during the second age. Then he finished that age. Pergamos, Tyre, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Now he's focusing on names. We'll just say it like this. Donnie, Joe, Jim, Fred, Susie, Carol, Barbara, Linda, so on and 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 so on. 1,000 years passes, 1,500 years passes, 1,800 years passes, 1,900 years passes, 2012. Then it comes over to the last page. What if this morning there'd be three names right down here? That's the only ones from here over has fully been redeemed. You're going to put off and put off serving God? You better not. You better serve Him while He's drawing on your heart. I'll tell you what you do sometime. You talk to Brother Amos. You talk to Brother Darrell, Brother Joel Brown, these brothers that go out and evangelize, and ask them how many altar calls they make anymore and how many they see come up. See if they see 10, 15, 20, 30. Oh, you might go to a youth camp or something like that. Several years ago, as I stood in Kenya and helped in some meetings there and had a large tent that they rented. Over 5,000 people per service coming to those meetings. And we had meetings back to back to back. Out of that entire service, two people wanted to get saved. We're talking about a gathering of 40 some thousand people probably when you take all the services, and two people wanted to get saved. Why, friends? Because it's closing. It's closing. Oh, don't you say it's closing. Look at this. He cannot come until that last one that is in the name of the book of life that was there before the foundation. When that last name is called, the last one, then he come to redeem and bring back. Now notice better, latter part of this quote. When the last soul is saved, that closes the book. Then the Lamb comes, takes the book out of the right hand of him that sits upon the throne. Oh my. Proving his word, 1965. Jesus came to redeem those that were in the book, in the Bible. The Lamb came behind the curtain and taken the book and opened the seals, which was sealed with, for he came to claim what he had redeemed. He's the intercessor now, 1965. He's still the intercessor. An intercessor making intercession for those who he has redeemed. But when the last name is called, Jesus takes all ribbons out. It is finished. Steps out from the Father's throne, steps over to the side, takes off his bloody garments, and he steps out as the Lion King. You imagine when he does, and Satan looks at him and says, uh-oh. Oh my. Then Jesus, now his entire focus changes. It's no longer, Father forgive them, Father forgive them, they don't know what to do. Father forgive them, Father forgive them. Now listen. Under the dispensation of the Lamb, he doesn't even know when he's coming. Brother Ram said Jesus himself didn't even know when he was coming. That was held only in the mystery of God. But you imagine when he steps out and he changes and the Spirit God shares that mystery with the Lamb Christ. Change your clothes. So the mystery of the coming was a change of clothes. So the angels all stand there and they're... The cherubims, the seraphim, the sacrifice burners, the zooms, they all watch him as he goes in and comes out.
the lion. They see this look in his eyes. They know mercy is over. You imagine them skirting and running through the city. Finish up. She's on her way. She don't even know it yet, but today she's coming home. Notice, Brother Bim says Christ has redeemed us now. We are now redeemed, but he has not yet claimed his possession. You say, how can I be redeemed and still get sick? Because this ain't redeemed. You can sit here today and have cancer and TB, and you can be down and depressed, and your soul right in the very heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Right? Because this has not yet. Not yet. Not yet been redeemed. Oh. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. And whom also after you believed ye were sealed. With the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. And to the praise of his glory. Let me close with this quote, brothers. I'm going to mess you up a little bit, but let's jump past 1 Corinthians, Matthew 24, John 5, 25. Let's go over to question answer 64. And we'll close. We'll pick us up again next week, Lord willing. Unless we're changed in between now and then. If so, we won't need it. Question answer 64, page 113, paragraph 362. Please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. Just a change. See? I mean, where's the great deep something another? You mean this is it? Just a change? See? Bodies, let's say our, you know what I mean when I say I don't mean to be sacrilegious, and I don't mean to say ours, I don't mean to say this church only. You see how much different Brother Bram's attitude was than a lot of the message people? When they read this, they think it's their church only. Ooh, burn, sting, scorch, ouch. That's spirit of Antichrist. Brother Bram told me, he said, a man told me not long ago, he said, Brother Branham, unless your name is on our church book, you are lost. Brother Bram said, let me say this, if you believe that, you are lost. Well, glory. Notice this, Abraham was looking for a promised son. He was promised him, is that right? And the church is looking for a tent. I mean a promised son. Now remember, Brother Bram has every opportunity to put a tent in this. They are asking him sincerely. Explain the translation of the bride. Where's the tent? Where's the little room? Where's the little building? Where's the airplane? Where's the bear hunt? Where's this, that, and the other? It's a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. Message creeds. Not formed by Brother Branham, but formed by people. Well, glory. Man alive. I didn't preach all this service and didn't get rough. I had to get rough right at the very end of it. Man. Notice this, before the promised son could come to Sarah and Abraham, their bodies had to be changed. Is that right, he says? She was too old to have the baby. Man, I'm too old to take a dimensional flight without a change. I'd be too scared too. I gotta be honest with you. I don't like the thought of flying through the air. Flying through the dimension. I gotta be changed. I get very high off the air and I go to feeling funny. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I gotta be changed. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. What's this? He said she could not have the baby. Her heart was too old to stay in labor. I'd have to have a new body or I'd have a heart attack when I saw Jesus. I'd have to have a new body or the joy would overwhelm me and it would kill me. And it would you too. I could not take the joy that would come with knowing it's all over. Watch how he parallels this. Oh my. So what happened? God changed her back to a young woman who did Abraham the same thing because he said his body was as good as dead. And he had to change her body in order to receive the promised son. And we cannot receive the promised son that's promised us to them, these bodies that we live in. These bodies are.
The first conscience controls this body with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It's got us all crippled up. We reason everything else, but that new body, listen where it comes from. That comes from this born again. Do you understand, those of you that are alive, your body doesn't come from out here. It comes from you. You say, how can that be? It's the roar of the Lion King. Lord Jesus. That new body comes from this born again, not the first conscience. It'll pass away. It's the inside something that lives. Everybody understand it? Say amen. Congregation replies.
Amen.
It's not the outside. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It's subject to death and will die. It's the inside part of you down in here, inside. That's the person that cannot die, see? That's the person that the new life starts from. It's not exterior, friends. It's not something coming out here somewhere to you. It's something that already came to you in the form of a new birth. And that's the person that the new life starts from. Do you realize it's going on this morning? Lord Jesus. From this new birth, and it builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. Lord Jesus. So potentially it's in here. What is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative, but that will reflect the positive. And the same thing, or the translation of the bride, will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body, will materialize around that word the same thing it did by Sarah. Not walking through a room, not going through a prayer line. Can't you see what Satan has done with all these doctrines? All these doctrines pull it exterior from you. They make it something exterior from you. You gotta go somewhere. You gotta be here. You gotta do this. And don't you see what it's doing? It's time to pull your attention away from where it starts. It don't start in a tent. It don't start in Happy Valley. It starts in you around that new person.
I didn't say I was done. I just told you to stand up. Listen to this, friends. How simple. The translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body, will materialize. This is almost like science fiction, isn't it? This is God's science. Your body will materialize around that new life. So the Lion King will roar. And he'll leave the Father's throne, and he don't come down on the earth, but he's suspended between the heavens and the earth. Well, there we'll meet him. And he lets the roar out. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when he does, it releases the atoms of creation. And your body will begin to materialize around that new life. It's all focused around that new life. That seed, that gene of God, that name on the book. What's names to you is a life story to me. Somebody hear the name Carol Reagan, don't mean nothing to them. It means a life of many years with that woman to me. Anybody hear Amos Cutts? They hear Jerry Phillips. They say, who in the world's that? Who's Joel Brown? Who? And to them it means nothing. But to someone who holds you sacred and dear, when they hear your name, it's many years of happiness and many years of this and that and the other. Oh, it might be a name on the book, but to him, it is eternal life.
Notice this, the word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word. The same thing it did by Sarah. When that old body that she had, the first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get it? That body could not do it. This body cannot do it. It'll have to be changed the same way. The same way to receive the son. Watch this question. It's two or three parts here. How will it take place? And where is it the bride goes? It goes to glory. Heaven. For the wedding supper, just in time, like Isaac and Rebekah. When Rebekah went to meet Isaac, remember Eliezer representing now the message. Uh-oh. I thought it was the messenger. Representing now the message that went forth from Abraham to find a bride for Isaac. And remember, Isaac had left the tent and was standing out in the field meditating in the late afternoon. So you imagine the Lion King. He leaves the throne. He's suspended in the heavens, marching through the stars. Oh, glory. He's marching back and forth in the heavens. Where they're expanded to redeem us. While we're getting together with the rest of the group on the earth. And we'll come up changed. And then what happens? The same word that you've heard preached. Service after service. Will change your body. And it will thrust you faster than any astronauts ever traveled. Remember, Isaac had left the tent and was standing out in the field meditating the late afternoon. And when he saw Rebecca coming, can you imagine the Lion King as he sees the bride, millions of them, and here they come, traveling like a saw. She had never saw him, and he had never saw her, but it was love at first sight. And she fell in love with him, and he was her. And she was even veiled. Amen. Oh my. And look, when she seen him, her heart was so full of joy. She didn't know who she was going to marry, but by faith. Amen. And remember, Jesus will leave the kingdom and will not meet him in glory. We're to meet him in the air between the heavens and the earth. Amen. Where it's expanded. Under the dispensation of Lamb. He don't expand the heavens. But once he moves into Lion King, he's territorial. So he expands the heavens to make room for this youth convention.
And he met Rebecca in the middle between her home and his home. Took her into his home and married her and fell heir to everything his father had. Amen. Oh, perfect. Just perfect. Can't you see when you slide a return ministry in a tent and a brown bear hunt and all that in this quote? Can't you see what you do? You break the perfect order of it all. Brother Ben's got to come on an airplane and go over here and, well, how come he didn't say that? He had every opportunity to say it. It's the devil that's done that, children. It's the devil that's done that to get your focus off of focusing on the important thing, getting a new life. This is not a doctrine. Brother Ben never said it forms around a doctrine. Get this doctrine, that doctrine, that doctrine. And the body will materialize around a doctrine. It don't materialize around a doctrine. It materializes around a person.
Let's bow our heads today, if you would. I may would say today, more than anything else in your life, you want to be part of that. More than money, houses, lands, more than anything else in this world, you want to be part of that. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we know that we cannot place our names on that book.
by our own desire. But we praise that you're a prophet. We trust and hope that every individual here, their name is there. Lord God, help us. Help us to be ready. Help them to see the years of my life that I've spent in this message. It's not been to point to one doctrine or another doctrine or another doctrine or this man or that man, but to you, a hidden life, a person. For if they get that person, it's impossible for them to miss the rapture. If that person is living in them, they will not miss it. It's impossible. And when you roar, your mate will answer. In your change of garment from priesthood to king, there must be a corresponding change on the earth. And it will set in motion the final cycle to the resurrection and the rapture. When you change, it will set the direction for ours. Help us today, Lord. Forgive us of our mistakes, our failures, our shortcomings. Help us, Lord, to witness, to share, to be able to give. Help us not just to think we're sent out to deal only with the bride. You certainly never had that mentality. You heal those that were unbelievers, make believers, all kinds of folks. Yet some folks have such pride about themselves they think they're only sent to bride. Who do we think we are? You yourself wasn't just sent to bride. You loved all of humanity. Help us to see that, Lord. We may not be able to lead folks to the message. Maybe they're not called to. But if we can lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, and they'd come up in the second resurrection, and one day they may walk in the city, and while we are permanent residents in that place, and they may come up from the new moon or the Sabbath or whatever it is to bring their tithings into the city, and a stranger who lives on the outside may walk up and say, "Pardon me. I want to say to you, thank you. For what? You witnessed to me one day about Jesus. I knew you were different. And you told me he could save me. You told me that he could help me with my drug addiction, my habits. You never really tell me anymore, and I didn't really know what else to do, but it struck my heart. Thank you. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have this request that's been given to us. We want to take it before the Lord. Also pray for Jessica Jones. She'd been taken to the hospital, hasn't been able to eat for 17 days. Lord Jesus, we bring her to you right now, Father. God, may your mercy move. Lord, you see the reason why she's not been able to eat for such a long period of time. We pray for your mercy to her, dear God. We don't know the particulars of this situation, but I pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, be merciful to her, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something, children. I'm not waiting for him to leave the Father's throne to become my king. He's already mine this morning. He'll become my crowned king then. But he's my king right here today. What about you? Can we just treat him as a king then? In adoration and love? Can we just sing a little something to him and give him some love from our heart? And treat him in the way that he ought to be treated? Not only as your brother, not only as your redeemer, but as your lover, your Lord, your soon coming King. Can you imagine you being given the grand opportunity to one day stand around his throne? And whoever's chosen, Paul, Brother Branham, or whoever more, that's actually chosen to be the ones who will take that crown and set it down on his head, somewhere I'll be there. No doubt I won't be one of them, but if I'm way on back 3 miles, he'll let me see it. I'll be there part of it. Amen. You love him today? Yes. I hope this helps you to understand the seals a little better and the taking of the book and redemption and all that. Amen. Hey, sing something for us, would you? Oh, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, Let's just raise our hands now. Let's just worship him right before you go for your dinner. Praise the Lord.
When it's my time, I want to take my time.
Yes,
to
Lord.
To behold his face.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
When it's my time,
Lord God,
I want to take my time to talk of his amazing grace. I want to thank him for,
yes,
the love that he bore and not leaving me alone. When it's my take my time to behold his face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk of his amazing. Standing in line, just waiting for one moment or more of the precious Savior's time. When I finally reach his presence, I'll take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank him for his wonderful love and his grace that's brought me through. Oh, when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold his face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk his amazing grace. I'm gonna thank him for the love that he bore and not leaving me alone. And when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time at his throne.
Oh, when it's my
talk of his amazing grace, I'm gonna thank him for the love that he bore and not leaving me alone. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time at his throne. There is a land I'm home.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God.
Though I've never seen it before, I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There some far off distant. instant strength. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. I have seen some pretty town. Guess who could say that I've been around? Found no place to settle down. There is a land. I am just a pilgrim here, toiling through this world.
Together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another weekend. Once again, we have sat at the table of the King as he has ministered to us his delicacies. Oh, from the Word, I would thank you, Father. May the sheep be able to go now and ruminate on this Word. Go with them in their homes, on their jobs. Lord God, may we be ready for this great hour that lays ahead. May there not be a one of us missing. Grant it, dear God. Go with them. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. Those that are sick. Those that are discouraged. Whatever their needs are, Lord. May you go with them in the fear of God. Amen. God bless you, children. I love you in the Lord with all my heart. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Father, I see that you are drawn. line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Yes, Lord.
I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, here I praise his ring. This is a song, a song to the Lion King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, my Lord. I surrender to the King. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Let the sons and daughters sing.
One day I'm gonna take a step to a mighty alpha. Don't you know one day? Oh, to mighty alpha. Don't you know one day? That final step, it's going to set me free. Mighty alpha.
Thank you.